watch La Liga, but I never really liked Barcelona. I never really liked Real Madrid. And I've always had a liking for Atletico just because, like, historically we've had Colombians there. And I'm from Colombia. So, you know, we had Amaranto Perea was playing right back for a while. He was, like, one of the first guys to go to Europe from Colombia. Obviously, we know Falcao. Now Arias. I guess I can name Jackson Martinez as well.
I guess
he counts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose.
So, yeah, and I've always liked this. I always liked Cholo. So around 2013, 2014, that's when I really started becoming. I was always an Atletico fan, but that's when I became like an Atletico supporter.
There we go. Rob, when did you start this long journey?
Yeah, sort of similar to Day. The obviously a 2013-14 thing was interesting, but I was probably my first major exposure to Atleti was the 2010 Europa League final against Fulham, which was just excellent in so many ways. But yeah, and then I started writing for our site when 2016, I think.
That's right.
Sometime about then. So yeah, I've been writing about Atleti for a good minute now. So. Yeah, you know, it's trials and tribulations, but we're here. We've made it.
Yeah, we at the top of the game. Yeah. I started following Atleti in 2012 going into 2013. I was a late arrival to soccer in general, but particularly to La Liga and Atleti. I didn't want to support Barca or Madrid. I just had no interest in that. You're front running and all that. Falcao's 5-goal game against Depor was what kind of sold me. I'm like, hey, wait a minute, this dude's really good. So I started following Atleti, and within a few months they'd gone and won the Copa del Rey. They'd finished third in La Liga, and then the following year was just, it was like a dream. You know, winning La Liga, getting to the Champions League final, it was like, you know, walking on, you know, on clouds, on water even. It was just a miracle what they did that season, and they got their hooks in me, and here I am. Here we all are. This is great. We all have our own little stories and around one common goal.
Yeah, by the way, I just want to quickly add, supporting this team has not been good for my health. I'll just say that much.
Relatable.
It hasn't been good for any of us, I don't think.
Very relatable.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Danny, it's great to have you on. It's great to have your debut on the pod. We have some Twitter questions, some Patreon questions that we'll get to in just a sec. But let's catch our listeners up on the latest, on what's going on. We'll start with the new guy who's in, and then we'll talk about the old guy who refuses to leave. João Félix was confirmed last week. He was presented earlier this week, and he gave what I thought was a pretty impressive press conference. 19 years old, he shrugged off questions about his price tag. He answered, look, I know about the Ronaldo comparisons, but I'm here to be João Félix. Always a good answer. And he said he's looking forward to working with Simeone, and he's looking forward to writing his own story at Atleti. So overall, good stuff. Danny, not sure how much of the kid you've watched, but what are your early impressions dating from when this rumor started to now, you know, here we are, he's training with the club?
Yeah, so it's funny, you know, I'm based out of New York City, and, you know, I play a few leagues, and I remember hearing of João Félix just in banter talk with my friends, like, you know, way before Atleti was even in the conversation for acquiring this talent, and I was always, you know, I started looking into João, and I'm like, wow, this kid's really good, and obviously his Europa League run was just amazing, and you know, and then all of a sudden, Atleti became a player in that bid very, very quickly, and things just escalated, you know, went from 0 to 60 in no time. So I'm still kind of processing this whole thing.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited, man. I'm really excited. I think Griezmann leaving, I know some people have certain views about him, but, you know, he always had a special place in my heart. He kind of brought a little bit of fun to the team, and kind of, you know, whenever he had the ball, you kind of weren't really sure what you were in for. He was a very unexpected player, and I feel like we're gonna get a lot of that with João. João is, you know, he can dribble, he can get through players, he can also try stuff from outside the box. I mean, he's a very creative player. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very, very excited. I'm a little hesitant about that price tag, as we've all, you know, talked about, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way. But other than that, like, I think this is a great signing for Atletico, and this is what we needed.
Yeah, Rob in particular is on record about not really digging the transfer fee.
It makes me nervous.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, this is the thing. With Atletico, is like, you could have split up all that money and gotten several good players.
Yep.
Players with big track records that we know they're consistent, that we know they're good, with a lot of, you know, work, with a bigger resume, right? But, you know, this is something I've kind of been thinking about, and it's just like, ever since, you know, Atletico won the league in 2013-2014, Simeone's run has just been kind of playing it safe, doing little by little. This is a little bit of stepping outside of that comfort zone. Yeah. And it somehow makes me, in a way, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like this is what we needed. I was hoping to see that last season, a little bit of risk-taking, and we didn't. And it was a bit of a dud. I mean, we knew the season was over kind of, like, deep into it. So, yeah, I don't know. These are good things. And then you hear rumors about James Rodriguez and about other players that you wouldn't necessarily think of at Atleti. And I think these are exciting times. I think we need to start taking a little bit more risks. And, you know, it is a gamble. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. To stay at the top, you have to take risks and gambles like this. So continuing to play it safe. We saw what happened last year. Even though the year before that had a Europa League win, it was not a good look to be knocked out in the group stage of the Champions League. But last year in particular was the really difficult one to take. Granted, the injuries played a role in that, but Atleti just were really, really not fun to watch for a lot of last season. And a player like João Félix, 19 years old, just one season in the top flight, only 26 league appearances, but he's shown his talent, his trickery, his ability with both feet, his passing, his scoring. He can really do a bit of everything. And there's going to be an adjustment period, but it is very exciting.
Well, and in the last few days, I've watched a lot more of him, really, than I have in a long time. But the thing that's kind of impressed me more recently is just how well he moves and how smooth he is for a dude that's pretty tall in footballer terms. So I'm kind of excited to see how that works in La Liga, because he's kind of a different look to Griezmann, even if they're going to be in kind of the same role.
He's a really strong player, too, despite, you know, looking kind of lanky. You wouldn't expect the kid who just got his braces off to be as strong on the ball as he is. But he is. He's an impressive young player, and he's now the third most expensive footballer in history, and Atletico bought him. Go figure. But yeah, thinking about that transfer fee, usually clubs can pay that. This is something I've been thinking about. Clubs can usually pay fees like that. It's the wages that are usually when clubs get into trouble. Like Atleti paid Griezmann 23 million euros last year, and that just shattered the wage structure, and that led to a couple pretty high-profile departures. João Félix is making a lot less than that. Like, I think a sixth of that amount. So you save a lot of money on the wage bill. You sign him to a seven-year contract with a giant release clause around 300 million euros. This is too good to be true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's... This is what I keep telling myself. We didn't spend all that money to get the João Félix that we see now. We're looking into the future because he's still very much an unfinished product. I feel like with Griezmann, he kind of is who he is at this point. How old is he? About 28, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to get better, but this is his prime right now. This is probably as good as he'll be. With João, the expectations, I mean, we don't really know where this kid's going to go. So sure, he is expensive, and we're buying a good player, but it's much more than that. It's what he can be, and I don't get the same vibe. Like, I was also looking at the presentation that he had at Atletico, and I kind of get a different vibe than he has with Griezmann. So with some of the issues we ran into Griezmann, you know, as he grew into who he is today, I don't feel like we're gonna see the same with João. We'll see what happens, but I feel really good about this sign.
Seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders, and that's important.
He does.
Because Cholo is going to run him into the ground.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's going to test him.
I saw a video at training today. Profe Ortega has made this, like, artificial hill that players are sprinting up and down on, and João was running up it, and he looked a bit winded. So he's going to get tested here. The limits are going to be established.
Yeah, it's probably made out of – that hill's probably made out of crutches, bandages and medical equipment from all the injuries of last season. But yeah, he's going to get tested, and I get the feeling that he's a very coachable player. Like, he's got this, like, yes coach mentality, something that I can't really say about Griezmann and maybe other players that have come through Atletico. Like, you kind of need that mentality to thrive under Cholo's system.
Rob, we've talked before about the possible tactical fit. Do you see anything really changing? Cholo's tried a little bit of 4-3-3 in the early days of training. Do you see João Félix really just sticking in that second striker, that Griezmann role, or will Simeone really expand? And Danny, I'd love to get your thoughts on this too. Will there be a more somewhat expansive system here?
I'm not certain. I mean, the Sid Lowe article of The Guardian, which I recommend people read about João Félix, I thought was quite interesting because it included some Cholo quotes about, prior to the Félix signing, about what he was sort of looking for in a second striker, which is basically replacing Griezmann, which sort of makes me think that that'll be his role in behind the striker, which, I don't know, I think it'll be interesting to see how he's used, if he's going to be further up the pitch than Griezmann, because in many ways Griezmann was a creative player first and then sort of a striker, but João Félix is kind of physically more set up to be a proper striker. But with Morata, I think that's an interesting combination. I don't know exactly. I mean, it's hard to know with this team because so many players have left. You feel like there's potential for change, but then every time we feel like that, nothing really changes. So I'm not going to get my hopes up, basically where I'm at.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like, look, I have some hope for reinvention, and I think, you know, Atletico has kind of been forced to do that, down that path with, you know, with all the people that left, basically. But at the same time, we know who Cholo is, and we know how stubborn he can be with his way. So I don't know, I'm hoping there is some change, but you know, I'm not holding my breath for it. I think there will be some trying out to do. Towards the end of the season, we saw Cholo was kind of giving the 4-3-3 a try, and I feel like João Félix could fit very well in that 4-3-3, connecting the midfield and the strikers. But yeah, we'll see. Fingers crossed. Hopefully there is some change, because I think that's what this team needs, a little bit of reinvention.
Well, one of our patrons, Trace Gatos, believes that he doesn't see it really any other way than a 4-4-1-1 or even a 4-5-1 with Marco Llorente and Tomas as the dogs in the middle, quote-unquote, doing the dirty work. Saul and Koke with a little bit of offensive freedom. Morata up top and Félix in the hole behind him. As Rob intimated, Simeone claims changes will happen with a signing like Félix, but even against the lesser teams that would like to sit back and defend against us, Simeone did not risk using a more offensive lineup. I don't really see it happening now all of a sudden. He would like to see Morata and Félix in the more important games, Costa and Tomas Lemar in the lesser games, Vitolo, Herrera, and Correa with some runouts too. That is interesting, and I think Trace Gatos' thoughts kind of mirror what you guys have said, that João Félix probably going to end up being in that Griezmann role, but there is, again, a chance at flexibility. We'll see if Simeone takes it. He mentions Llorente and Tomas, which kind of segues nicely into his second question. Now that the crazy transfer season seems to be close to dying down, do you see any additional deals coming? Any other real deals have kind of faded away? Mario Hermoso, James, possibly Ante Rebic, Felipe Luis possibly coming back. That kind of sets us up nicely to talk about the window as a whole. I have thoughts on Felipe Luis, trust me. This does set us up to talk about the window as a whole with most of the signings already in. Danny, have you been impressed by what Atleti have managed to do this summer?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense of, I think the transfers so far have gone pretty well, keeping in mind like all the people that we left, all the people that left the team. But I don't necessarily feel too confident that I could say that this new team is better than last season's. I don't know. So I still have doubts on how the whole formation is going to play out. But I think the big one was getting Joao. I think that's going to bring, you know, an element to the team that is much needed. You know, somebody very young, somebody with a very high ceiling. You know, because a lot of the players that we had last season were quite old. So, you know, I'm kind of glad we're turning that page, and even like some of the other signings as well. You know, we have some young guys back there, you know. So we'll see how it plays out. But so far, I would say it's been a successful transfer window.
Rob?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's kind of interesting to me is if you sort of add up the money that Atleti have received for Lucas, Rodri, and Gelson in particular, that's sort of around the amount they've spent so far. So then if with the potential Griezmann sale, that's 120 million more. Obviously, they won't spend all of that, but I feel like there's still some room. I mean, this squad is still small, and that was one of the things that really annoyed me last season is just how little rotational depth there was. I still feel like this team could use a center back so that Stefan Savic is further and further away from the pitch. And some fullbacks would be lovely. I'm still unclear on the Santiago situation. I really like him, but there are reports that Cholo didn't. So who knows what'll happen there. It's strange. I just need a little bit more. I mean, some more signings along the sort of Renan Lodi sort of type. Sort of younger guys that maybe have some potential, less Felipe's of the world,
yes.
Perhaps.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think I mentioned this on, I think, the last pod. One of the signings that I think will be important next season is Hector Herrera. He's now the fifth central midfielder, along with Marcos, Tomas, Sal, and Koke. He's going to be, I think, as far as next season goes, he will be important. Looking in future years, Marcos is going to take a big role. Sal and Koke, of course, they look set to be here for the long term. Koke definitely is the new captain. Overall, I think it's, on paper, been a pretty good window. This team, as constructed, and assuming a couple more signings come in, this team could have a higher ceiling than the ones of the past couple seasons, but at the end of the day, it's important to remember that this coming season should be looked at as a transitional season. The expectations should not be too high, as we have half a dozen new players in, and they all have to adjust, and Simeone has to transmit his ideas to them, and so on. As far as any future activity goes, yes, Felipe and Atleti are reportedly talking. Atleti have made him a contract offer, a one-year rolling contract, and Felipe Luis is considering it. That will drive me crazy if he comes back, because he was not good last year, and Atleti just do not bring Felipe back. He let him leave with his head held high. A center back needs to come in. Ideally, you'd want a center back who can also play left back, which is why Atleti were interested in Hermoso. But Espanyol refused to negotiate, even though they're going to lose him for free next year. They said no to negotiations, so that's not happening. A center back who can play left back or a pure left back, plus another right back to compete with Arias, that's what's still needed. And a couple departures as well.
Yeah, the right back situation is very interesting. Is Sime Versalico coming back?
Possibly.
I guess.
Possibly.
I think so.
Because I know how you guys feel about him, but I actually like him. I think when he's on, he's actually very good, and he can provide a lot to the team. Powerful guy that has pretty good crosses, can run up the side of the field and pretty quickly. It's just mainly been his injuries, but I think if you get Arias, who's a workhorse, and you make him sort of carry most of the load, I think there's a space where Sime can get in there and maybe not get as many minutes and kind of stay or attempt to stay healthier, I guess.
Yeah, the problem with Versalco is that he does have that knee injury and probably not coming back before October or November. Maybe that is indeed the plan, to just give Arias the reins and then work Versalco back in. I mean, who knows? Atleti have already spent a lot of money this summer, and this is a club that does have some debt, to say the least. So who knows? That may be like a plan B or a plan C, is to just wait for Versalco.
Well, they can't really sell him.
No.
I mean, because he couldn't pass a medical anywhere.
Yeah.
It's got no
value. I mean, he'll be around. It just is, will they use him, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. And something also interesting, like we're missing, you know, like we're considering re-signing Felipe Luis, who I think he should be leaving. Yeah. And we don't really have a second right back. And all of a sudden, I thought one of the bigger issues last season was we had so many people that can play in the center. And that's why eventually Saúl had to play left back, right? And then we've just signed more center midfielders. How do you guys feel about that?
I think having that quintet is important. I think one of Atleti's problems last season was they didn't have that depth. When Sal moved to left back, it was just a mess. Atleti were a little too open for Simeone's liking. That extra body in midfield, especially a box-to-box presence like Herrera, I think that's good. I don't want to see Sal at left back anymore, so if that's like a casualty of it, then I won't be as happy. But I think it's a good thing. I think having that extra body, it was supposed to be Gabby last season, but then Gabby took the money from Qatar, and Atleti were left, I think, one man short in central midfield.
Well, and Lodi did come in. Is it Lodi or Lodi? Have we decided on that yet?
I think it's Lodi. Renan Lodi.
All right. Well, Lodi, I mean, is a left back. The problem is he just came from Brazil and is 21, so it's kind of going to be a question of will he be good enough to play in his first season. I'll be interested to see what he looks like, but they could definitely use another left back for sure.
Yeah, and that's something I'm a little concerned about too. Like Simeone's team, playing for Simeone is not easy, and it's cost a lot of here my title spot fighters with my MMA mind. but it's cost a lot of players, you know, careers. I mean, we got my fellow Colombian Jackson Martinez go to from Porto, right?
Yeah.
To Atletico, and you know he was killing it all up until that switch, and then he kind of just fell off. So we do have a lot of new guys, which is exciting but concerning at the same time.
Yeah, Nico Gaitan, yes. Another example from Portugal, is a player whose career has not been the same since he got that move to Atleti 3 years ago. It's a difficult system and a difficult coach to play for because he demands so much of you in terms of just physical exertion. And, it's tough. Danny, who would be Cholo's equivalent in the MMA world?
As far as coaches, man. That's a tough one. I don't know if you can make that translation. I don't think there's anyone equivalent to him in the MMA world as far as coaching goes. Interesting question.
As far as a fighter would go, though.
As far as a fighter would go, geez, you'd really. I would go with. I would go maybe like a Diego Sanchez or something. Someone that's just relentless, super tough, will fight through anything. Yeah.
Sounds
super
about right.
Persistent. Yeah.
Sounds about right to me.
And a little bit of crazy in there, too. A
little bit. Okay, let's move on to the Griezmann situation and what on earth is going on there. So this report came out this morning that Barcelona technically cannot afford to pay the release clause of 120 million euros. They have been, this is from the Madrid papers, so take it with a grain of salt, but they've been in discussions with banks about a loan and trying to find some kind of way to structure it without paying in installments, because that's not what Atleti want. Sporting Gijon on our Patreon page asks, what is Atleti's aim in publicly disparaging him and implying he was essentially a double agent for Barca starting back in March? Grizzy's decision has left me disappointed for sure, but I don't think it's unusual for players' reps to talk to other clubs throughout the season. Regardless, what do Atleti hope to gain from all this?
I think a lot of it is just leverage. Negotiation tactics. It's hard to really say, but I know they were asking for the full release clause, right? Like a week back, 200 million, I believe it was.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think they were going into the mentality that they were going to get it, but maybe they can get a player in exchange from it, you know, just leverage in general.
Yeah, and I think that the sort of tampering thing, to equate it to American sports, with regard to the agent and having a contract since March is kind of par for the course. I mean, I know Atleti are pissed about it, and I mean, I am all for shitting on Barcelona in any circumstance, but it seemed kind of petty in some ways, but I absolutely understand wanting to get the full release clause. The problem is, of course, Barcelona have already spent a ton of money so far this summer, and they, like Atleti, have a lot of debt. So I'm not sure they're going to be able to scrape it all together, and it's certainly not really plausible for Griezmann to stay at this point.
Track Danny on Twitter wonders, is anyone else rooting for Griezmann to get screwed over by Barca? Those sound like Brooklyn sounds, Danny.
Yeah, that's Brooklyn right there.
There we go.
The block is hot indeed, just as we talked about Griezmann. You summoned the Brooklynites to cause some havoc.
I'll repeat that. Track Danny on Twitter wonders if anyone else is hoping Griezmann gets screwed over and has to go somewhere else. I personally don't really care anymore. Just someone give Atleti the release clause and send him on his merry way.
Yeah.
The PSG thing is interesting. I do wonder if they are kind of monitoring this, even though Griezmann has said a ton of times that he doesn't really want to play in France.
Honestly, I feel like he would kind of fit in at PSG. I mean, he is French. It doesn't seem like a crazy, crazy signing.
Especially if Neymar goes. But
yeah.
I don't really see much movement there either.
He'd fit in really well at PSG, honestly, both in terms of his playing style and his personality. I mean, that's just being honest. And we know how Griezmann acts. We know how he deals with the limelight. PSG mm-hmm. and the glitz and glamour, I think, would suit him very well.
Well, we'd love to get him out of La Liga.
Yeah.
To sum it up in 21st century terms, PSG loves clout, and so does Griezmann. So they would make good couple.
True. That is true. So whose fault really is this? Is it Atleti's fault? Is it Griezmann's fault? Is there any fault or blame to assign?
Man, this is a tough one. I feel like both Atletico and Griezmann have to blame, probably more on the Griezmann side of things. But I think Atletico with the last season, like, because Griezmann ultimately decided to stay last season, right? Hoping to achieve something with Atletico. And I feel like, sure, Atletico had a lot of issues, but one of them was them not taking enough risks. That's probably why Rodri's leaving anyways. I guarantee you, if you give that guy the ball more often, and if you put an attacking team, you know, that's willing to attack and pressure a little more, you know, he would have been a lot happier with his role. I think the same goes for Griezmann. The guy wants to attack. The guy wants highlights. You know, and that's not really something he was getting with Atletico. But at the same time, I think he did handle the situation very poorly. So it's a little bit of both sides. But I would blame Griezmann the most. Yeah.
I think the club is as tired of the situation as the supporters are, because this has been going on for 2 years now. Griezmann flirting with other clubs and Griezmann not really committing unless he's absolutely forced to, which he essentially was last summer. It's a weird one. Rob, do you think there's any blame to be assigned, or do you just want to wash your hands of the whole situation?
I'm going to take another path and blame myself for thinking that this was going to be resolved quickly. I feel like that was so foolish. How did I think that this would not go on for fucking ever?
Yeah.
It's Griezmann. It's how this works.
Yeah. The hope
is... It really tarnishes his legacy. I mean, was already kind of tarnished a little bit on his way out, but this is just the cherry on top.
I mean, Rob, I think I know your answer on this, because you wrote a column when he announced he was leaving, a very scathing column, as it were. So I kind of know your thoughts on this. Danny, do you think Griezmann's going to go down as a club legend? I mean, he did score 130 goals, after all.
His legacy at Atletico is going to be so complex.
Agreed.
It is already, and who knows if there'll ever be another chapter to it. But he did a lot for the team. He carried he did a lot of team, obviously, in terms of stats by scoring a lot of goals. But as I said earlier on the pod, he also brought like an element of fun. Like, that was our superstar. Like, that was
right.
The guy that, you know, you could compare to against other superstars and other teams, you know. So in that sense, he was very important. But I feel like he's been treating Atletico kind of like, I feel like he sees it, you know, pardon my language, but kind of like as a side piece, like for towards the end. Like, it was just like, especially when you see guys like Godin leaving, like Juanfran leaving, Fernando Torres, like the way they treat the club and how they're so thankful and humbled by the fan base, and you don't really get that sense with Griezmann. So I feel like fans do look at him differently. Man, that is a very complex, you know, sort of legacy and history. But no, I don't think he'll fall in as a club legend. Like, you know, Fernando Torres, Godin, Juanfran, like all these guys have something in common, and that is that they always put the team first. And I can't say the same thing for Griezmann.
I wonder if it won't be a kind of similar legacy as Aguero has at Atleti, which is kind of like he was part of a brilliant era, the first Europa League team, but also kind of left in shame. And it's kind of unfortunate for Griezmann because he scored way more goals for Atleti than Aguero ever did.
Yeah, I think those situations are now pretty similar. Aguero kind of left out the back door months after renewing his contract and, like, not really saying anything on his way out. And to this day, that is still a very bitter topic. Atleti's president, Enrique Cerezo, still brings it up whenever he can about Aguero leaving and how that left kind of a stain on things. The Griezmann situation has turned very ugly now. Atleti ordered him back to training in their statement last week. He did not turn up. Atleti fined him. They are opening up disciplinary proceedings. It's ugly. And this does not do him any favors and his reputation among supporters any favors. Atletico host Barca on December 1st, and that is a must-watch game. I think everyone should be tuning into that one, regardless of where those two teams are in the table. The atmosphere is just, it's going to be wild.
Oh yeah, it's going to be something special.
it's going to be something, that's for sure. Yeah. Just we'll see how that gets resolved. It might end up happening this week. It might not.
And hopefully sooner rather than later, please. Yep.
Yeah, you would hope so. In light of Griezmann departing, Atleti did also confirm that Alvaro Morata will be a permanent member of the team following this coming season. He's technically still on loan from Chelsea, but Atleti have gone ahead and paid Chelsea the money they were asking for to make the deal permanent. I personally was impressed with Morata last season. Rob, I think you were too. Danny, is this a good deal? Are Atleti going to get Morata's best form now? Because he's been an inconsistent player.
Yeah, I think
player.
So. I think it's a great deal. I think I was very skeptical when Morata, you know, first came and, like, when there were rumors about him coming to Atletico, just because, you know, at Chelsea, you know, he didn't have the best time. Let's just say that. But I thought in the second half of the season he did well. I thought he was a good fit, just as far as, like, with the fan base, as far as, like, him repping the Atleti colors, and as far as his performance, I thought he did great. He had a pretty solid season, and again, we're talking about a system that is very difficult to adapt to, and he passed the test with flying colors. So I'm actually very excited, and I feel like he's going to be even better this upcoming season. So yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I have pretty high expectations for Morata this season. I'm hoping 15, maybe even 20 league goals, which hasn't happened for Atleti in a long time. And don't forget, Diego Costa is still here. Maybe he bounces back. It's going to be interesting to see who Cholo rolls with that first match day, whether it is Morata, whether it is Costa next to João Félix. Rob, how do you think that plays out? Can we expect a bounce back from Diego Costa this season?
It's a great question. It really is, because I have absolutely no idea, because he looked so awful last season. I mean, he was hurt half the time, and when he did play, he didn't look good. I don't know if he was playing through stuff even when he was playing. That wouldn't surprise me, because he just did not look the same at all. I think he is a solid bounce-back candidate, because we know how good he can be. But the problem is, of course, he's getting up there in age, and it could be done. I hope it's not. I mean, he is only 30, so you feel like he's still in his prime to some degree. But I wouldn't bet on it, but I think it's certainly on the table.
Yeah, I feel the same way, but I think it is a gamble worth taking. I just have a very vivid memory on Diego Costa's first game back when he scored, and I think he jumped into the crowd. Did he take his shirt off? Because I know he got yellow.
He jumped
and then got sent off.
He jumped into the crowd, and that's what got him sent off. Of course, honestly, of course.
Yeah. Honestly, I was like, dude, this is what Atletico needed. Like, this is what we needed. It felt different, man. When Atletico, in that season, when Atletico, just throughout the season, I felt like we were missing something, and I felt like Diego brought in a sort of grit, brought in a certain attitude that was really needed. And especially with Godin leaving, with all these legends just walking away, I feel like it's important to, like, you know, keep some familiar faces around, even if it's just for team morale in the locker room. And look, he's only 2 years older than Griezmann, as crazy as that sounds. I do think Simeone, you know, he revived Diego Torres' career. I think he could do the same thing with Costa. It's just a matter of him being healthy. And, you know, I'd like to see what happens. But, you know, fingers crossed, I think he still has something left in the tank.
He's 30, but he played a lot older last season.
Yeah, that's true.
It was difficult to watch. He kind of summed up Atleti's season in a way. Just a lot of disappointment and a lot of underachieving for what that team last year could have gone on and done. The position they put themselves in to challenge for major silverware, and it just kind of ended with a whimper.
He scored one league goal.
One.
For the record, which makes me really scared. But we know Simeone loves him, and he is the ideal striker for the Simeone system, which he certainly is going for him.
And Cholo just loves his attitude.
We have Morata, so we should rest a little easy. I think that Morata and Joao Felix combo is going to be very interesting. I actually have a hard time seeing Diego Costa and Joao Felix playing for some reason. I feel like Joao plays well with someone that's a little more mobile, and I think Morata's a lot more mobile than I think Costa.
Yeah, and Morata's ability in the air and his ability to just occupy space and open lines, I think that's going to be very important for Joao. The fourth striker is going to be a hot topic as we approach the end of the window. As of now, Nikola Kalinic is still around, but it's likely he moves on. Atleti signed this kid from Benfica B, who I'd never heard of. Possibly a Mendes deal. Possibly, like, here, I give you Joao Felix. I'm also going to give you this player who you don't have to do anything with. I don't care. And then there's possibly Angel Correa still out there, but Correa might end up going. Who knows what's going to happen with fourth striker. If someone else comes in, maybe Szczepanić from Benfica's B team, maybe Atleti actually do give him a chance. Because I can't imagine Kalinic staying.
He was the joint top scorer with Luka Jovic in some of the Serbia under whatever age group matches. So, you know, whatever. Take a flyer on him.
He's only 21, too.
Yeah.
And there have been comparisons with Mandzukic, which excites me because I still love Mandzukic.
He's a big dude. He's a big dude.
I said Effie. Give him a chance.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Why not?
Another young striker.
I'd rather see him out, give him a chance than run Angel Correa back out there, but I'm still mad at him. So.
Aren't we all?
That is one of the most puzzling things within this transfer window. I mean, just from an outside perspective, I mean, what did Correa do? Like, what is he really good at? I'm not really sure. I mean, besides his versatility of being able to play striker and then also in the midfield, but I mean, he's not great at both. I mean, besides that, like, I don't really know why keep him around, to be honest. And it's not like he's 21. It's not like, you know, you can still form him. I believe he's like 24 or 25. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a weird one.
I think Correa's best skill by far is his ability to market himself.
Yeah.
And sell himself.
And he puts up a lot of stats that people like. And that's about it.
Yeah.
Other than goals.
Still haven't quite gotten over the penalty he conceded at Juventus, but...
Oh, God.
Still
yeah,
haven't
that was bad.
Really gotten over that one. Like, what was he doing? Why was he all the way... You know what? No. I'm not going to go into that.
And he got sent off at the end of the season. Remember that? That was...
Yeah. See, it was fitting. It was only fitting. And then Sergio Camello comes on and scores the goal that Correa is expected to score.
Yep. So...
You know, speaking
who
of...
Who knows? I mean, I really think Atleti should be looking to sell him. But as we know, he's one of these dudes that Cholo just loves.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, there is a possibility, there's always that possibility that one of the B-team strikers comes up next season. Borja Garces obviously still has that knee injury, which I know is very depressing to you, Rob.
Yes,
but
I don't want to talk about it.
Sergio Camello is still a thing. He's very young. Got that goal against Levante to end the season. Victor Mollejo as well. So a couple promising kids who may get more time next season, depending on who's healthy, who's fit, who needs chances. I don't know. There are still a lot of balls in the air. And another question from Sporting Gijon, I think, sums this all up pretty well. I don't know about you, but this team has become unrecognizable to me seemingly overnight. We've exchanged names I know and trust for what feels like a Portuguese all-star team. Last time I checked, La Primera wasn't exactly winning European trophies. So how should we as fans be feeling about this new identity, as it were?
Yeah, that's a tough one. This is one of the reasons why I wanted Godin to stay. I feel like Godin is still one, although I don't think he's at his best right now. I still think even with a little bit of a fall, he's still a very, very good center back. And yeah. I feel like he means so much more for the team and just the guys and just the presence that he brings on the field. That's why I thought it was kind of silly to let him go, especially for free. But yeah, this is a very different team, man. And that's why, again, keeping Diego Costa around, I think it's worth it. And keeping some guys that have some history on the team is good. But yeah, this is a very, very different team. And who knows how much is going to change, you know, in the next couple of weeks as well.
There's a lot of changes. Just in terms of personnel, there might be even more to come. Rob, what do you think about that? Is this team now unrecognizable to you?
I see the point. I'll give the optimistic view of it, which is that hopefully it's so different that it forces some kind of change, or at the very least forces different players to step up. I'm really excited for Jose Jimenez next season. I think he could really step up sort of into that Godin role. I mean, he's already taken his number, so that makes me excited. I'm really looking forward to watching him next year. It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing Koke as captain. I'm excited. I have to say I'm excited for next year. Sort of cutting out some of the players is nice, I think. A fresh start isn't always a bad thing.
And it's a good thing that he still have Oblak around. Let's not forget
that. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Let's not forget that he decided to stay. I think next season's it's really exciting. I'm excited for it to start. It's going to be really entertaining one way or another. It's not black and white, but this could be a tire fire, honestly. This could also be a really exciting introduction to a new era. And there may be a small gray area in between, but it's really exciting. I'm really anticipating this and seeing how Atleti start and seeing how they evolve as the season proceeds. It's gonna be fun. I think we'll...
Yeah, knock on wood, because I made fun of so many Real Madrid fans this last season. I just couldn't help myself.
Neither could we.
You know, I'm sure they're eager to get back at me on Twitter in this upcoming season, so fingers crossed.
Indeed. Always hoping for Atleti to finish higher than Real Madrid. Always hoping for that.
Let's do that again, at the very least.
Yeah, it's happened the last 2 years. Let's make it a three-peat.
Let's go for it.
Yeah. All right, I think we're gonna leave it there. Danny, you got anything to plug? Anything you want our listeners to know?
No, nothing. Just, you know, follow me on Twitter at Danny Sierra TV. Most of my tweets and content is surrounding MMA, because I work for MMAfighting.com. But I have the occasional, you know, Atletico Madrid commentary here and there. And that's it. I just wanted to thank you guys for having me. This is awesome. I listen to your podcast all the time. I think you guys are great at what you guys do, and you know, thank you. This is awesome. It was nice to talk about soccer and not, you know, people punching each other in the face for once.
Glad we could help, Danny. Thank you so much for coming on. We had a great time. We had a great talk. Follow Danny on Twitter at Danny Segura TV. You can follow Rob on Twitter at RWalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. Follow Into the Calderon and MMA Fighting. Like ITC on Facebook, subscribe and listen to Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform, and be sure to check out our Patreon page. We'll have a bonus pod coming up in the next week or so. patreon.com/cultsneurochat. We'll see you next week. Until then, adios.